you better watch it, because here comes the colonel.
It's not funny. It's just not. Why is everybody laughing? It's not funny. I don't know where these creeps come from sneaking into the studio here. It is probably a serious science program. Well, welcome back to second half hour of The Promise of Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network, exploring the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. I'm your host, I'm Colonel Mason, along with Jack Bishop, who's coming up here shortly with the guest of the second half of the program. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. But right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we keep here on the set and rummage around in the coin jar just a little bit for today's query.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help you?
Yes, I see we have awakened the spirit of the fountain, who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all for a price. Oh, yes, oh, spirit of the fountain, we've thrown in the coins, so here is today's query. And we know you're a bit of a lush. Pardon the pun there, as you wallow around in your fountain of useless information. So, since you're a bit of a lush, maybe you can answer this question. What cocktail was first mixed at the Occidental Hotel in San Francisco in 1860? A cocktail we still partake of today, was first mixed at the Occidental Hotel in San Francisco in 1860, what is its name?
I have given you my answer. And now you may tell me.
I see. The spirit of the fountain is a bit of a lush. All right, oh, spirit of the fountain. The cocktail that was first mixed at the Occidental Hotel in San Francisco in 1860. If you said the martini, you are absolutely correct. All right, back to Jack Bishop and the rest of our program.
Science News Network. And Jack Bishop here spending some time with you today. Glad to have you along. Joining us is Tim O'Connor, who is part of the IEEE Fort Worth section. And we're going to talk about MetroCon, which is coming up. Tim, thank you for being with us. When is the MetroCon conference happening?
Yes, the MetroCon is scheduled for October the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
2014 is going to be at the Arlington Convention Center in Arlington, Texas, right next to the ballpark, Ranger Ballpark.
Hey, I bet everybody can find that place.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. And your specific role with MetroCon is what?
This year, I'm proud to say, this is my seventh year as the chair of the IEEE 2014 MetroCon.
And I understand this year, you folks at MetroCon are going to be covering a lot of things. Why is MetroCon important to the industry?
MetroCon is very important to the industry for several reasons. One of the reasons is that it gives exposure to companies of all sizes, even if you're a big law corporation like Lockheed Martin, or if you're a small company, a small disadvantaged business company. It also is a learning opportunity for engineers in electrical engineering as well as aerospace and defense and commercial, because we cover all of those subjects and run the gamut of technologies during the conference.
And how many years has this been going on? You've been
this
here 7 years.
This is
going
to be our 27th year. Proud to say we've been doing this MetroCon for 27 years.
And the usual size of the turnout is pretty good, I understand.
The size of the audience is very good. Last year we had over 300 folks. Of course, we had more than that registered. This year our goal is 500 this year. So it's been growing. You know, we've been averaging for the last 5 years right around 3 to 350.
Now, that's a good turnout for any type of technical conference, from what I understand. You know, there's some things we need to cover, but first of all, I understand you're doing some new things this year. You've kind of changed up the program. Tell us about that.
Okay, we are proud to say that one of the highlights of this conference this year is going to be what we call a hackathon demonstration, where we would bring in a person that expert in information technology and specifically cyber security, and he's going to put on two sessions, a morning session from 8:30 to approximately 11:30, and then in the afternoon we're going to have a session from probably 2 to 5, and in those sessions we're going to cover things that you could do to prevent yourself from being hacked. Then we're going to talk about some things to do if you decide to be a hacker, and some things to be aware of. And then we're going to have a at the end of the course, we're going to have a demonstration competition where we can see or be demonstrated a person's ability to hack another person, and a person's ability to prevent himself from being hacked. So this is one of the new things that we're offering this year. It's going to be limited to 100 people per session. The cost is $50 above your registration fee in order to participate in that. So we're expecting that to be one of the highlights. The second item that's a highlight is going to be our exhibit display area. Last year we had rented 50% of the convention center. This year we are fortunate enough to rent the entire Arlington Convention Center, and we're going to have a huge exhibit area. And this year what we're offering, if people that don't want to come and don't have enough time to attend the entire conference but just want to participate in the exhibit area, they could do so and peruse and visit with the exhibitors, some of which will be actually collecting resumes for those that are in need of employment. And there'll be some recruiters on hand. There's going to be some people from, like last year's sponsors, we had one of our biggest sponsors, Lockheed Martin, Aeronautics in Fort Worth, Texas. We had Rhoda Schwartz was an exhibitor. We had Pickering Test out of Massachusetts. We had Tektronix was an exhibitor. We also had Agilent Technologies was an exhibitor. We had in Mansfield, Texas, Mousy Electronics came on board. That was the first time they came on board as a sponsor. And we also had Merrill Lynch. We also cover some financial aspect of engineering as far as your career, how to manage your retirement, how to plan for your retirement. Our post-reception was sponsored by Merrill Lynch. It's 5 to 7 p.m. at the end of the conference. And so we had Pickering Test that specializes in measurement and test equipment. They were sponsored. But we also had from the academic community, we had the University of North Texas. They had exhibit. Those people interested in PhD program or continuing their education, even college students or high school seniors are thinking about college, the opportunity for them. We also had University of Texas in Arlington participating from the college standpoint. And this year we hope to have, we've actually extended our invitation to any college or university, community college, for to be exhibitors, since we have the entire Arlington Convention Center within any college that's within a 250-mile radius of Arlington is definitely invited. One of our other highlights was the student post contest, where we have students come in at the undergraduate and the graduate level. We offer cash prizes for those students first and second place, and we have participation from at least 8 schools participating in that, and that was a big winner. They had some real good exhibits. They had some real good demonstrations. They had some robotics. They had some modern technology type thing they were doing at the undergraduate and the graduate level. So we invite all college and university to participate in that and come out and be eligible to win some of those good cash prizes. We gave away some door prizes at our post reception that was sponsored by Merrill Lynch and Miles Electronic last year. We also gave away some gift certificates to some local restaurants. We gave away some books for those that were studying for the professional engineering exam. And we actually was able to give away a F-16 model that we gave somebody that was a lucky recipient of that. So it's an all-day affair. It starts at 7 o'clock with registration and ends about 7 o'clock at the evening. From 5 to 7 where we have our post-reception. So the other thing that we've done that's new this year is we've cut down on the amount of time for the luncheon that we have. We have a keynote luncheon that has been traditionally for 2 hours. This year we're cutting that back to an hour and 15 minutes. The remaining 45 minutes we're going to let people have an opportunity to visit more with the sponsors, with the exhibitors, and give them a more time to spend in exhibit areas. So by us reducing our program, our agenda, we have allowing an additional 2.5 hours to be spent just in exhibit areas for all the attendees, all the participants, and we'll open the door to those people that may not want to attend the whole conference to come in for $100 to peruse and visit with in our exhibit area. And if they're looking for a job, they need to be placed somewhere, they've been out of job for a while, it'll be combined with a sort of what we call maybe a job fair, where we have recruiters from the various different sponsors on site collecting resumes. So it's a wonderful opportunity for the community of the Dallas-Fort Worth area and those beyond or within the 250-mile radius of the Metroplex.
Sounds like a pretty jam-packed day. We're spending some time talking with Tim O'Connor. He's the conference chair of Metricon 2014, his seventh year being the chair of the conference, and this is the 27th year of the conference itself. It's going to happen in Arlington at the Arlington Convention Center. Give us that date again, would you, Tim?
Yes, it's October the 2nd, 2014, at the Arlington Convention Center.
Starts at 7 a.m., goes till 7 p.m. As we said, we're spending some time with Tim O'Connor. He's the conference chair of Metricon 2014, 27th time that the Metricon has happened in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. How did Metricon get started?
Well, Metricon started out very small, with a small group of people. Actually, we have some people on our committee that actually put on the very first one. And the very first Metricon, the way I understand it, actually started out at with the executive committee at IEEE forward section. Somebody had an idea about having an annual technical conference specifically hosted by the IEEE forward section. And so they put their mind together and came up with a concept where they would have these very different topics, bring in speakers from academia as well as the industry to speak. And the very first one was actually done on the campus of the University of Texas in Arlington. And so it turned out to be a success. I think the first one, the attendance was right around 60 to 100 people, and it just kind of grew from there. And we've had several at the Arlington, University of Texas in Arlington. We've had a few of the conferences at the Fort Worth Convention Center. And I think since most of the people live in the Arlington area, because it's centrally located between Dallas and Fort Worth, Arlington became the base, if you will, for having these Metricon's technical conferences.
Gotta ask this. Putting on a conference like Metricon has got to be a test of your patience and tenacity.
What kind Absolutely.
Of, what kind of effort?
It takes up a lot of your time. Actually, we started planning the 2014 Metricon back in December. And one of the things that, you know, we do after each conference, during the conference, rather, we take surveys and we try to improve on the things that you know, we may have missed from the previous year. And we've gotten some very good feedback from our participants. And last year, we included our sponsors, and we got some real good feedback from them. And what we've done this year, we started in December of last year, is we've actually invited our sponsors, or some of our sponsors, those who did wanted to participate, the ones that were sponsors for 2013, to be a part of the planning process, to be a part of the planning committee, to help us improve in areas. And that's one of the reasons why we changed the format, because one of the things, the feedback we got back from our exhibitors and sponsors, that, hey, you put on a great conference, but hey, most of the people spend their time listening to the presenters and paper. They're not spending a lot of time, as much time, and we were like with all of the exhibitors, the sponsors that actually financed this thing and make it happen. So we listened to them, we met with them, and we came up with the new format that we are starting this year, and allowing more time for the participants to participate, and also expanding our envelope, if you will, within a 250-mile radius of Dallas-Fort Worth, to include more sponsors, more participants, and also to give them that face time with the exhibitor, the sponsor that really are behind the scenes, really making this thing happen. My committee consists of, right now, we have about 30 people that actually work with me to help put this thing on. We have conference chairs and co-chairs for each track, which we have 7 tracks. Each track has 5 presenters and 5 speakers speaking. And they do a tremendously wonderful job of contacting speakers, both from the academic community as well as industry, bringing them in and exposing them to MetroCon. And they do it very well. They do a great job in presenting and delivering their presentation. So we're proud to be a part of that group. We're part of a group of individuals. We have some people that we retain on the committee that's been with the committee for the last 7 years that I've been on there, and that's a testament and to their fellowship and to my leadership, for them wanting to stay and continue to be with me through the trials and tribulations and struggles, what it takes to put on an event such as the one that we have. And so we're very proud of our committee. We're proud of our sponsors that finance this thing. We're open to new sponsors, new ideas. We always want to work in the element of continuous improvement, and always trying to improve from 1 year to the next and put on a better conference. Our goal is to expand the conference in future years to a day and a half, or maybe 2 days, and have everybody in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex exposed to it, come out, and be exposed to some continuing education, some good presentations, and find out what's going on in the industry, and industry and technology today.
Now, I know that at the end of a conference, after you've been involved with it for 7 years, do you find yourself throwing up your hands and saying, I'm so glad it's over?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And that happens at 7 p.m. at the end of the conference. I mean, you look over and you reflect back on the things that took you, the things it took to get you where you are. And then, you're so proud of your product that you produce. And then you're saying, wow, you rub your hand across your forehead and say, woo, I'm glad it's over. It's been a trying time, but it's definitely been rewarding. A lot of people don't realize what goes on behind the scenes, what it takes to get keynote speakers, getting them committed, getting people to speak at your conference, handling logistics of their travel, making sure that they're comfortable while they're here and well taken care of. And on the day of the conference, you're taking care and waiting on them hand and foot, making sure everything is going well. And for the attendees, we actually get to the convention center about 6 o'clock a.m. in the morning. Our day starts at 6 a.m. all the way up until 7 p.m. and after 7 p.m. because we have to clean up and put things away. So that makes for a long, long day. And the night before, we actually have an appreciation dinner. We've been having it the last 3 years at the Cashrail restaurant over there in Arlington on East Lamar Boulevard, and the public is invited to attend that. It's $35 per person, and if you accompany our group, It's $300 for a table, table seat and eight. Last year we had over 100 people attend that at the Casserole restaurant. So that happens on October the 1st between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. We have a good time. We have a keynote speaker. We actually give out awards to the committee members. We recognize our sponsors, and we just have a great time out there at the Casserole restaurant. So we are proud of the things that they do for us, and they've done a good job, and that's why we're a repeat customer for them, because they do a great job for us.
Now, Tim, we've covered a lot of areas, but I know there are things that people would want to ask if they were sitting in my chair. So if they want some more information, how do they contact someone? Who do they contact?
Yeah, we have, actually, we have a website. It's www.metrocon.org.
Say that again. Say that again, because I know there are people who are running for a pencil.
Okay, it's www.metrocon.org. That's www.metrocon.org. That's our official website. On there, they'll find information about, you know, how they can participate, what's the registration for it. They, we even have a solicitation packet if you want to become a financial sponsor. There's information on how to become a financial sponsor. That's all on there. We got upcoming events in terms of what's happening. And it's updated on a monthly basis. We'll be putting abstracts of the various speakers up there and their biographies so you can get an idea of the type of speakers and per track that's going to be speaking. My contact information is on there. The list of the names of the committee members is also on there. But they can also contact me as well. They could contact me at my email address is timothyoconnor@sbcglobal.net.
All right. Tim, we thank you for being with us. Looking forward to the conference coming up, as you said, October 2nd at the Arlington Convention Center. It's the IEEE 2014 MetroCon Technical Conference. Thanks for being with us, Tim.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to the this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of the show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftoronto.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
Well, the one lesson I try to teach my children that I learned long ago was it's relatively easy to do well do the things that you like to do well, but it takes real character to do the things that you don't like to do but have to do well. And that really distinguishes, I think, the people who are good at what they do from those who are excellent at what they do. Phil LaPlante, I am professor of software engineering at Penn State University in State College, Pennsylvania. I also chair the National Council of Examiners for Engineers and Surveyors, the committee that is developing the licensure examination for software engineers for the United States of America.
So you decide. Has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you.